History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there really are stories there that should not go untold. And they don't have to go untold, as long as some of us are willing to take a little initiative and ask a few questions, and then invest a little time to patiently listen as memories from long ago make their way back to the surface in the here and now. We want to honor our veterans for their service and their sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And in that process, not only are we educated, not only are we entertained, but so often we end up inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. This coming Wednesday, December 7th, is, of course, Pearl Harbor Day. Now, 81 years since that date, which has indeed lived in infamy, as President Franklin D. Roosevelt said. We have met dozens of Pearl Harbor survivors on Hometown Heroes over the years, but the reality is most of them are no longer with us. Their stories live on, and you can explore all of them at hometownheroesradio.com. But today, we're going to hear from three Pearl Harbor survivors who are still with us. We're going to start with Bill Pratt. He'll celebrate his 101st birthday in a couple weeks in Fresno, California. He grew up in Illinois, Kentucky, and Oklahoma, but he and his older brother Basil were on the battleship USS Nevada on December 7th, 1941.
My battle station was in the Chantilly. That was down in the bottom of the ship where the main engine, we had two main engine rooms, and the main engine drive shaft that went from the engine back to the propeller, where it moved back to the outside the ship, and that was housed in a certain compartment in there. That was a battle station for somebody, usually two men. It was two compartments. You had to just make sure that, well, the main shaft from the engine to the propeller went through this compartment and out of the ship, and you had to make sure that the struts of the bearings were getting oiled, and for leaks and stuff like that. And I was in the starboard engine room. My brother was over in the port engine room, but that's where we served, down the engine room. They attacked us at 8 o'clock in the morning at Pearl Harbor. That was Sunday morning. They were raising a flag all over the harbor and on those different ships, and you could hear they would play a bugle, or if they had a band, they'd play the Star Spangled Banner when they raised the flag in the morning, because it was in port. We raised the flag every morning, and we struck it every night. It didn't fly at night, and there was a procedure for that. Of course, if you were at sea, the flag flew on the main mast all the time, night and day. About halfway up was the place for it. But raising and the lowering of the flag was an event that I remember, because that's something you done every day. It was important.
So were you topside for that?
Yeah, sometimes if I was involved in raising or the flag, there was a detail that marched the flag back and put it on the pole and raise it at sunrise every morning, and at sunset at night, we would go back and get it.
And what about that Sunday morning? Were you up top for that, or were you down below?
It was Sunday morning. I didn't have anything to do. I was just laying around in the quarters. Of course, I began to hear bombs going off, but I didn't know there were bombs. And when I hit our ship, and then it shook it, and I started to go up on topside and see what was going on when general quarters sounded. So I had to go down the engine room. I had my battle station was back in the shaft alley. It was scary for me because I was down there by myself. Then the lights went out. We got generators got hit, and the power was off for a while. The lights went out everywhere on the ship, but I was back in a shaft alley by myself. It was dark, and it was scary because I didn't know what was going on. Knew the ship was listed to the port side. We had been hit on the port side. The torpedo planes had got to the port side, and that's what I was noticing. The ship was listed to the port side. We'd already heard that it was the Oklahoma that capsized. The USS Oklahoma was hit on the port side, and they capsized. The thing turned bottom side up. The water in the harbor is shallow. No ships sunk. They didn't go out of sight. You could see part of them. There was a lot of destruction. I didn't see it. I wasn't up on top side to see it. I had to go to my battle station, but we stayed there until we were released. They had the bugle call that went out over the loudspeaker. I went to my battle station. I began to feel the ship getting hit, and it would either shake or it would lift over to one side, or it would do something when a bomb would hit. You knew it. War was imminent with Japan, and we were expecting it. And it was getting more imminent all the time until it happened.
So you know, general quarter sounds, you go down to that room, and you told us you're all alone, and then the lights go out. You're all alone, the lights go out, and a lot of times in those situations, they dog down those hatches. Were you trapped in there where you were?
Well, I thought I would have been. My battle station was down there in one of these compartments, and the shaft would run through it. And in case the automatic lubrication stopped where you're supposed to oil the shaft, look, report leaks, and just generally be there to report anything. You were dogged in. You wasn't supposed to get out. They had the watertight door closed. I was in the first compartment, and there was a hatch there, but we weren't supposed to open it, and we didn't. It was dog closed. It went to the engine room. When I was in the engine room, my battle station import is in the starboard engine room, and I run some pumps with it. We pumped all the liquids, water, fuel, whatever was pumped in a steam pump. And those pumps were located in the engine room down on the lower deck. My station was down there running those pumps, seeing that they were two pumps for every function. If one pump stopped, you're supposed to start the other. But in some cases, you needed both pumps running. That's where I was, in port. That was my battle station. But after the ship got underway, I had to go back to the shaft alley. I thought the end had come. And you're sitting there in the darkness by yourself. I really thought it was over. And of course, you do a lot of things. You even pray that you'll get out there. And, I could do nothing but sit there and wait, because I was in the darkness. I couldn't see what it was doing anyhow. We didn't know. I didn't know where the water was leaking in the back compartment, but it wasn't. It was leaking into compartments beyond me. The compartment I was in didn't take on any water. But anyhow, we had to stay there. Finally, the lights come back on. They got the generators running. They got the lights back on. They assessed the damage, and they let me out of the shaft alley. They opened the door and called me out. I was glad to get out of there, too. There's a watertight door that goes to the engine room, but you're not supposed to open it. At that time, we were pretty patriotic. We were taught that it was a dishonor to leave your battle station and do something you what it's supposed to do, and we all done what we were told to do.
So I understand, again, what the Nevada did that morning. A lot of people have heard the story. You did get underway. You're navigating the channel. Then there's this fear because your ship's been hit by several more bombs. They say at least 6 bombs hit the ship, maybe as many as 10. But while you're trying to sail out of Pearl Harbor, you're hit by all these bombs. Then they're concerned that you're going to block the channel and trap everyone. So they send your ship over to Hospital Point to run aground. So is that when you came topside, when they'd run aground at Hospital Point?
Yeah, they backed the ship up as far as it'd go at Hospital Point. It was a sandy beach and it was sloping.
And one more thought on that, because, you know, the fear, the reason they ran them aground is that fear they're going to sink and block the channel, given what you've told us about where you were and what the situation was. If the ship had gone down in the channel, guys up top would have been able to abandon ship. You would have been out of luck, right?
Yes.
You wouldn't be here.
Well, that's true, yeah. Yeah.
Just wanted to get that straight. So they run the ship aground, and that's when you're let out of there. They undo the hatch, and you come topside. And you've been hearing all this. You've been feeling when the ship was hit. But when you could see up top, you know, in the open air at Pearl Harbor, what kinds of things did you see?
Well, the ships I could see were, they were sunk at their pier, and they had sunk down as far as they go. The harbor's shallow, and they could sink down to it till they were sitting on the bottom, top side. The top deck was still above water, and that's what I seen, all these ships sitting there with their top side. They were sunk, but the top side still above water. You're thinking about surviving, really. What happened is the Nevada backed up on the beach at Hospital Point and settled on the bottom with their top side above water. And her stern was high and dry because it's almost out of the water.
So where did you go?
Well, I put on top side. And they give me a rifle. They give us a rifle, and we shot at everything that moved because we didn't know whether they were going to invade the islands or not. They usually do. After they bomb it good, the landing forces come in and take over, but they didn't. They didn't.
What kinds of things were you doing for the rest of that Sunday?
Well, we had to wait on that Nevada. We was up on the bow. Of course, we wasn't in danger of the thing sinking. It was always sitting on the bottom until a motor launch come and got us. We had two motor launches on the Nevada, but they could only get to one motor launch. The other one was, it wasn't, the crane wouldn't bear it over to the water, across the ship. And a lot of men left on that first motor launch that left the ship. But the rest of us had to wait until a boat came and got us. And it took us to Army barracks on the base. They fed us, and they kind of organized the thing so that if they needed men, they would take them from that pool of men that were without a ship, their ship had been sunk, and they'd made it to shore.
What did your parents know about you and your brother?
Well, I wrote a letter, and as soon as the thing was over, and let my mother know that Basil and I were okay. It is just a helpless feeling that you realize you're in a situation you can't do anything about. This thing was coming upon you. You expect to die. You don't think you're going to get out of it alive because it looks bad at first. That's the kind of situation I was in. It looked very bad at first, but as things developed, it began to look better. And we had assistance from other ships in the fleet and other departments that helped us. I don't know, you just quit worrying, I guess, and go along with the program. Actually, you expect to survive, actually. You teach yourself to expect to survive, and that's what we've done. I'm going to survive this.
One thing I don't want to forget to say is thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us this story that nobody else could tell us. Here's one more question for you. Is there something that you think, that you say, you're most proud of or you're most thankful for?
I appreciated the support that the people at home gave us, I think, more than anything. And I know my mother and father did. I appreciated that. And that's enough to keep you going, just to know that somebody is dependent upon you and you do your best.
Is there something that you think, that you say, you're most proud of or you're most thankful for?
I appreciated the support that the people at home gave us, I think, more than anything. And I know my mother and father did. I appreciated that. And that's enough to keep you going, just to know that somebody is dependent upon you and you do your best. I'm thankful that I survived it. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my life. And I thank the Lord for it.
Bill Pratt, one of four brothers to serve in World War II, two of them survived December 7th, 1941, aboard the battleship USS Nevada. It's time for our first break, but when we come back, a man who survived the sinking of the USS Oklahoma at Pearl Harbor 81 years ago, Hometown Heroes, will be right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. Over 1,500 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.